This morning we've got the pleasure and privilege of having Ranjit Rodericks from Goa with us, and I think many of us have already heard him at IDT and at other times when he has come here. But Ranjit was a banker. He was working for a bank when he heard the call of God upon his life, and he gave up that banking job some 30 years ago and said, I want to serve Jesus. Okay, and he leads Good News Church in Goa, and when we were in Goa at the training center many years ago, 93, 94, he was in charge of the training center, and we've been blessed through his ministry. Okay, how many of you received much yesterday at IDT? Yeah, wasn't that amazing? I had such good feedback. That was wonderful. Okay, shall we warmly welcome Ranjit this morning as he brings us God's Word.
Great, it's such a joy to be with you again. And I bring greetings from my home church, Good News Church. And they said to say hello and to give you their love. And if you've got any love to give back to me, please give it immediately. And I'll take it back to them. Thank you. I take it. I receive it. I hope it'll fit in my bag. I'll take it back to them. But it's just such a joy. And it's so good to worship God with you this morning. I personally thoroughly enjoyed our time of worship. God was here and His Spirit ministered to me. Did He minister to you as well? Great time of meeting with God. Thank God that we don't follow a philosophy. We don't follow a dead idea. We follow a living person. His name is Jesus. Yeah? This morning, I'd like us to turn to the book of Genesis. So if you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Genesis. It's the first book in the Bible. And I'd like to read to you an incident that takes place in Genesis 18. All right, so Genesis 18. Genesis chapter 18. And I'm reading the incident that takes place in the life of Abraham. And it starts in verse 16. All right, so Genesis chapter 18, verse 16. Now, even before I begin, let me give you a little bit of a background. Abraham is has had three visitors in the story, all right? It's noonday in the Middle East. He's sitting at the door of his tent, and three visitors come to visit Abraham. One of those visitors is the Lord Himself, and two others are angelic beings. And this is what I've been saying. We follow a living God who comes and meets with us. All right? And so Abraham is now having these three people. One of them is the Lord Himself, and two are angelic beings. And they have come to meet with Abraham, and they've got something vital to talk to him about, which I'd like to talk to you about this morning. All right? So Genesis chapter 18, verse 16 onwards is what we're going to read. When the men got up to leave, they had already spoken to him about how he was going to get a son. And now, in verse 16, when the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom. And Sodom, as you know, was a city in the day of Abraham, a very wicked city. And Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. And then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on the earth will be blessed through Abraham. For I have chosen him that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham all that he has promised him. And then the Lord said to Abraham, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see what they have done, if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached the Lord and he said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the city for the sake of 50 righteous people? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill righteous with the wicked, treating righteous and wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do what is right?" And the Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the entire city for their sake." And then Abraham spoke up again. "Now that I've been so bold as to speak to you, Lord, though I'm nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous in the city is 5 less than 50? Will you still destroy the whole city for the lack of 5 people?" And the Lord said, "If I find 45 people there, I won't destroy it." Once again, Abraham says to the Lord, "What if only 40 people are there?" And the Lord said, "For the sake of 40, I won't destroy the city." And then Abraham says, "May the Lord not be angry. Let me speak. What if only 30 people are there?" And the Lord said, "I won't destroy it for the sake of 30. And Abraham said in verse 31, "Now I've been so bold to speak to you, Lord. What if only 20 people are there?" And the Lord says, "For the sake of 20, I won't destroy it." And then Abraham said, "Lord, don't be angry with me. One more time, let me speak. What only if 10 people are there?" And the Lord said, "For the sake of 10, I won't destroy it." And when the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left and Abraham returned home. Amen. Let's just ask God to be with us. Lord, we ask, this is your word and we need your Holy Spirit to speak to us. Open our hearts, Lord, that we might understand what you have to say to us. Encourage us, enthuse us, and direct us with your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, the first thing I would like you to look at as we're looking at these verses is I'd like you to look at verse 20. Now, as we said, the Lord and two angelic beings have come now, and they've got a message for Abraham, and Abraham is talking to them, and they're going to leave. And as they're about to leave, the Lord says, "I'm going to do something that is horrific. There's two nations, two cities that are wicked, and the people of those cities have given themselves to wickedness. They've devoted themselves. Those two cities are Sodom and Gomorrah. They've given themselves to perversion, to violence, to abuse. Nobody is safe in those cities. And God has come. He wants to judge those two cities." And then he says, "Before I judge them, should I not be telling my friend Abraham? For Abraham is not an ordinary man. Abraham is my man. He has been chosen by me. He knows my word. He's a man who is blessed by me. He's not ordinary, he is favored by God. Not just favored, he is blessed so that through him I can bless the nations. He is my instrument in a wicked world. Should I not be telling Abraham?" And then the Lord speaks to Abraham about what he is going to do. My friends, the first thing I'd like us to look at is verse 20. And in verse 20, the Lord says this: "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin is so grievous that I will go down and see what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached to me." Now, many people, when they read this verse, they get very surprised. They say, "I thought that no one cares about how we live on this planet. Whether we cheat, whether we lie, whether we steal, who we abuse, whether, you know, whether we are moral or immoral, it doesn't seem to matter. And you might live in a big city like Pune, and you might think, well, there's wickedness in this city, just as there's wickedness in my city back home. And you might think, does anybody care? Is there anybody who is looking at our cities and our nations and is aware of the wickedness and of the violence that is going on in our cities? And this morning, I'd like you to know that there is one who cares, and his name is God of all gods. Amen. You see, my friends, we are not free agents living in this world. We are living on ground that is owned by the living God. And I labor this point because I believe in the day and age in which we live, men and women think that they can live in this world in ways that are pleasing only to themselves. Now, I want to say this to you, my friends. We were never made to live in this world as we want. We were put in this world to live on in God's creation in a way that pleases God Himself. The ground that we walk on belongs to God. The air that we breathe belongs to God. The water that we drink belongs to God. As I've often said, nobody can create a molecule of oxygen. Nobody can make water. The air that we breathe, the water that we drink, the ground that we live on belongs to Almighty God. Would you say amen to that? Yeah? This is for everybody. And we are put on this planet to live God's way. Let me even say this. When man lives on God's planet, God's way, things go well for that man. Because man was never made to live like an animal. Man was never made to live by his instincts. Man was made by God in his image to live in God's creation in a way that is pleasing to God. All right? Now, therefore, man is accountable to God for the way that he lives. And this verse tells us that God is not absent from creation. Often we think, oh, where is God? I can't see him. There must be no God. I tell you this, my friends, there is a God, and he is looking at how we live our lives on this planet. And these two cities that have chosen to live in ways that are displeasing to God, well, they have caught the attention of God. And God has said, I'm going to go down and decide whether these cities are as wicked as the outcry that has reached me. So here's the first thing we learn from the story. The first thing we learn is that there is a God before whom we will all have to give an account for our lives. There's a God who lives in heaven, and all of us will have to give an account for our lives. And many people think, well, you know, there's a long time left for me to die. That's not going to happen very quickly. I'm young and I'm going to enjoy myself. And there's lots. Maybe I'll think about God when I'm 60. Or if you're 60, you may be thinking, maybe I'll think about God when I'm 80 and they start asking to measure my body for the coffin. Maybe that's the time I'll think about God. Right now, I'm well. All is going well. I don't need to think about God. You know, people spend a lot of time talking about the end of the world. And I often say this, you know, don't worry about the end of the world because your world can end tonight. Don't worry about the end of the world. Don't worry about the nuclear missile that countries have got against each other. Don't worry about the end of the world because, you know, your world could end tonight. Tonight could be the night when you stand before God and you've got to give an account for your life. Every man and every woman has to. I was once preaching in another nation, and on a Sunday morning when I was preaching in that nation, they were having an aeroplane show just outside the city, just outside the city, there was an aeroplane show. And you know what? One aeroplane went up, and they do all these acrobatics. One plane lost control. The pilot lost control of the plane when he was above the highway. And that plane came down and crashed in the middle of a highway. In the middle of the main highway that leads to the city, this small plane came and crashed. Many people died. There was a car, a wedding car, that was going to pick the bride up. And that plane came and slit the car into two. It just took the top of the car off. The driver and the car just became half. That whole top thing went completely off. People died. And I was thinking about them. And I realized, my friends, life is a lot more frail than we think it is. Life is a lot more frail than we think it is. And we've got to know that there is a God to whom we will give an account for our life to. Now, God has brought this warning to Abraham, and he's saying to Abraham, Abraham, I've got to tell you that there are two cities that I have got to punish because they have given themselves over to major wickedness. They are violent, they are immoral, they are living in ways that are displeasing in my sight, and I have decided to wipe these cities away. Now, we need to ask the question, why is he talking to Abraham about this? Why is God talking to Abraham about this? Well, here's the special thing, and here's the second thing I'd like to say. Abraham was a man chosen by God to be blessed so that he could be a blessing to the nations. Abraham was a man chosen by God to be blessed so that he could be a blessing to the nations. Notice what God says about Abraham. Is not this the man whom I have blessed? And am I not going to bless the nations through this one man? Because he knows my heart. He's going to teach my ways to his children, and his children will teach my ways to the rest of the world. This morning, brothers and sisters, you know, the Bible doesn't call you children of David. The Bible doesn't call you children of Moses, but the Bible calls you children of Abraham. You are called children of Abraham. Why are we called children of Abraham? Here's the reason why you are called children of Abraham. For two reasons. Number one, just as Abraham was blessed by the Lord, so also you are called to live a life that is blessed by Almighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. You are not called to live ordinary lives. And it pains me when the people of God think of themselves as ordinary. You and I are anything but ordinary. We are a people who are blessed by the living God. Amen. When the Lord looks at this great city of Pune with its big buildings and its big cars and its big enterprises, guess who makes him smile? It's not the big buildings. It is you that makes the Lord smile. The favor of God is on you, my friends, because you are the descendants of Abraham. Amen. Turn to someone next to you and say to that person, God's favor is on you because you're the descendant of Abraham. Will you do that? God's favor is on you because you are a descendant of Abraham. You're not an ordinary person. You are not put on this planet to eat and live and die and try and struggle, earn a living if you can, buy a house, buy a car, maybe a holiday home in Goa and die one day. No, 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 no. God has got great plans for you. What are his great plans? His first plan is to bless you. His first plan is to bless you with his abundance. And secondly, to make you a blessing to the nations. And you might ask, how can I become a descendant of Abraham? I asked that question. I said, I'm a Rodericks from Goa. You might say, I'm a De Cruz from Pune. You might say, I'm a Menezes from somewhere else. You might have another name. You might be a Kumar from Pune. How can you become a descendant of Abraham? Well, here's the way. And there's only one way to become a person who's blessed by God. There's only one way, and that is through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you put your faith in Jesus, if you put your faith in Jesus and you turn away from whatever dead religion, or perhaps you have no religion, that's okay as well. Jesus still created you and loves you. And this is what he is saying to you. You were not created to live on earth as a human being alone. You did not come out from some soup that Darwin spoke about, some chemical soup millions of years ago. You were made in the image of God. And you were made to be blessed by God. That's how you are made. Animals don't have dignity, my friends. Darwin's theory takes away the dignity of man that God puts in man and women. We are made in the image of God. Amen? You are called to reflect God. And when you believe in Jesus, you are put into the line of Abraham. My grandfather and grandmother were nice people, but they did some horrible things. My ancestors did witchcraft. They did. And witchcraft and all these generational curses must have probably come down the Roderick's generation. But you know what? There was a day in 1984 when I met Jesus. And on that day, I was taken out from this dead Roderick's line and I was put in the line of Father Abraham. Hallelujah. Amen. And let all those curses go down the Roderick's line. But in my line and my children's line, the blessings of Abraham are going to flow. Amen. The abundance, the prosperity, the spiritual connection with God, that's my portion in Jesus. Is it yours? Is it yours?
Yes.
And if you're not sure, let me say to you, don't leave this hall this morning without making sure that you have found Jesus. He is here. He is looking for you. He's not far. The day of salvation is not far. Today is the day of salvation. Today you can change from being an ordinary person and become a person who is blessed by God. Amen? Now, let's follow the story very quickly. Now, it says here, after God tells Abraham what he's going to do with Sodom and Gomorrah, it says those two angelic beings start walking away, but Abraham stays in front of God. Abraham stays there. And then it says, Abraham approaches the Lord. Can you see that word approaches? Abraham approaches the Lord. What is he doing? I thought he was already in front of the Lord. What do you mean approaches? Ah, this is the language of the law court. Where's our lawyer? Our lawyer will understand this. When you have that word approaches, this is the language of the law court. What is Abraham doing? He is taking his place before the judge of all the earth. And he is standing on behalf of men who are wicked and don't know their left hand from their right. Judgment is going to fall on them, my friends. And they don't know it. They are dead in their sins. But Abraham takes his place between man and God. And he stands before the judge of all the earth. And he says, "Oh God," he begins pleading for Sodom and Gomorrah. Can you see that? And can you see Abraham bargaining for them? And I'll tell you what I would have done. My tendency would have been, "Lord, horrible people, nuke them." That would have been my tendency. "Nuke them, Lord God. Finish these guys. I agree with you. Horrible Sodom and Gomorrah. I've been there. I know what they do. Finish them. I'm with you. I will say amen when I see fire coming down." But you know, God, I've got my nephew is there. Just save him. Get him out of the way. Many people pray like that, no? "Lord, bless me, my wife, my two children, us four and no more." Many people pray like that. "Us four and no more. Nuke the rest. I'm not really bothered about them." But you see, my friends, you and I are children of Abraham. You and I are children of Abraham. And like Abraham, we are called to stand between heaven and earth. You and I are citizens of heaven. The Bible puts it like this: we are a royal priesthood. The church is a royal priesthood. What does that mean? What does a priest do? I'll tell you what a priest does. A priest stands between God and man. And he talks to God on behalf of man. And he talks to man on behalf of God. That is your commission today. Amen? You're not just a child of Abraham to be blessed. You are called to be a blessing to the nations. India will be blessed through you, my friends. And this great city in which you live, this great city of Pune, this beautiful city, this city's blessing is dependent on you. Have you seen? God says, okay, Abraham, if you can find 20 people, I will not destroy the city. In other words, the future of Sodom and Gomorrah depended on Abraham's intercession, not on the prosperity of the city. Does that make sense to you? I want us to realize, my friends, you and I have been put on this planet and we carry a responsibility to bless the planet. And the blessings of God are mediated to a sinful nation through you and through me. Will someone say amen to that? And if Abraham had not to pray for those cities, well, the judgment of God, as we see, as God says, okay, I will hold the judgment back, that would not have happened. Can you understand what I'm saying? I want you to understand this, my friends. You and I are blessed so that we can bless the nation. That is the calling of the children of Abraham. You and I stand between heaven and earth. The prosperity of our families, the prosperity of our area, the prosperity of our city depends not on its police force and on its government. It depends on you and on me. One of the areas that our church has a little house group is a little village called Makazana. It's a nice little Goan village. It's called Makazana. Nice little Goan village with its little church and little houses and its bars. Every Goan village has bars. All right? Now, this little Goan village had two bars. And they were a source of great pain for us. And let me tell you why. Because men who should have been going home from work would go to the bars instead. And they would get drunk at those bars. And they would go home drunken and with empty pockets to their wives. And so money that should have been used for the bringing up of children and for support of their home has been spent in the bar. And these men are now going home broken drunk. And it was a source of pain to us because that's how God would feel when he looks at such places. And the Lord said to us, the blessing of Makazana and the prosperity of that village depends on you, Ranjit, and on the church. And so we began to walk in those villages. And we began to say, Lord, we are not having these bars here. We don't want them. You have brought us into this village that we might be a blessing to this village. We are children of Abraham. We bring from heaven the blessing on earth. Listen. Earth has got no access to the blessings of heaven on its own. Because earth is wicked and heaven is pure. Earth has got no access to heaven. Do you understand that? The only way that earth will see the blessing of heaven is when the people of God stand between heaven and earth and they start touching heaven and changing earth. That's the only way. The only way blessing can come from heaven to earth is not directly. It is when the people of God reach up to heaven, bring the blessing and distribute it on earth. Amen. And so as we began to pray and stand in front of these bars and say, Lord, we don't want these places of wickedness in this village. That's why we are here. Both bars were very prosperous. One bar was owned by two brothers. And God put a fight between the two brothers. He did. I do believe he did. One fellow said, oh, you're taking more money than me. The other guy said, no, I think you're taking more money than me. And they had a big fight. And one guy said, okay, if you're not giving me my share, I'm shutting the bar. And the other guy said, fine, neither you nor I, let's shut the bar, neither should have it. We said, hallelujah, hallelujah, this is how God works. And so the bar got shut. Huh? Now, one bar left, not music bar, drinking bar. One bar left. We said, now we don't want this. You see, wickedness is offensive in the sight of God. And we've got to learn to carry the heart of God, brothers and sisters. Amen. And so when we went there, we began to say, Lord, we don't want this one as well. We really don't want. Hotels, restaurants, eating places are fine. We don't want places where people go and sit to drink and waste their money. We began to pray. And that bar owner one day decided he was going to migrate. Closed his bar, got a Portuguese passport or something, and left and went away to far off London. Today, both those bars are closed. And those men who used to go and get drunk in those bars are now going home and sitting with their wives and children. I tell you, this was what happens when the children of Abraham stand up and take their place. And they know that we are not just blessed, we are blessed to be a blessing to the nations. Amen. The nations will be blessed. Listen, turn to someone next to you and tell them, if you are the child of Abraham, you are called to be a blessing to the nations. Will you do that? Go ahead, tell someone next to you. If you are a child of Abraham, you are called to be a blessing to the nations. Now, just as I was studying this passage, I thought, why did Abraham stop at 10? Correct, no? He brought it from 50 to 40, from 40 to 30, from 30 came to 20, and 20 to 10. And I thought, at 10 he stops. Have you noticed that? And he doesn't say, Lord, what about one? What about one, Lord? If there's one guy, will you spare the city? He doesn't do that. He stops at 10. Have you noticed that? And the next chapter tells us that the Lord couldn't find 10 people there. He couldn't find. And therefore, he kept his word to Abraham, but he kept up his righteousness as well. And he poured down sulfur on those cities, and both those cities were wiped away. This is not a parable. This is a true story. The Lord really wiped those two cities completely off. They ceased to exist. My question is this: why didn't Abraham go down to one? Why didn't he go down to one? Why was his priesthood not strong enough to say, Lord, if there was one guy there, will you please save the city? And here's the answer, my friends. The answer is this: there isn't one. There isn't one. Abraham didn't go down to one because there isn't one. In the sight of God, all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible said. There isn't one righteous man. It doesn't matter which city you come from. You might come from the cleanest city in Switzerland, where they've washed the pavements with soap. It doesn't matter. Even there, in the sight of God, there isn't one righteous person who can stand before God on the basis of his own righteousness. There isn't one. And that's why, my friends, one had to come from heaven. His name is Jesus. He was a priest greater than Abraham. Abraham was a great priest. You and I are great priests, but we have a priest in heaven greater than all of us, and his name is Jesus. And because there wasn't one righteous man, one righteous person came from heaven, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You and I are not righteous enough. There's not one. We are sinners. And that breaking of bread reminds us that one righteous person called Jesus came, the beloved of the Father. Oh, I hope your heart breaks every time you break bread. I hope you feel the pain of heaven every time you break bread. Do you know it was so horrible, the cross, that it says even creation couldn't bear to look at the Savior, their Creator, dying on the cross. It says, midday sun, the sun closed his eyes because he couldn't bear to see his Lord and his Maker being crucified there. Why did he do it? He did it for you and for me. That you and I, who were once sinners, would now become children of Abraham, a royal priesthood, blessed that we might bless. Amen. I want to end by quickly giving you some application. I want to say to you, my friends, you have access to supernatural healing that is from heaven. Is there sickness in heaven? Answer me. Is there sickness in heaven? What is in heaven? The opposite? Perfect health. Yes or no? You have access to that. Now I want to encourage you, my friends, reach up to heaven, bring healing down and distribute it here on earth. Do you see sick people? When you see a sick person, don't hesitate to say to them, you know, can I pray for you in the name of Jesus? You may be sick, but I know a God who heals, and his name is Jesus. And he has given me access to heaven. Here's another thing you have got access to, the peace of heaven. You've got access to peace. Oh, I tell you, my friends, if peace was available in a shop in camp, the rich people of Pune would have been standing there 4 a.m. in line to buy a kilo of peace, wouldn't they? Never envy the rich. They don't sleep well at night. Many rich people have horrible nights because they're tense, aren't they? Where do I do? What do I do with my money? Who's eating bits of my kingdom over there? Will someone shoot me? Will my cousin kill me and take my empire? Many rich people don't sleep well. What do they need? They need the peace of God. Where is the peace of God? The peace of God is within your access. I want to say this to you. You have got access to that peace. And I want to encourage you, when you have your friends, your relatives, anybody who doesn't know Jesus, your colleagues at work, and you see them troubled, you are the child of Abraham. Remember this, you can access the peace of heaven and bring it down into families. In this city of yours, there is violence, isn't there? Violence in homes, violence in marriages, violence in families, violence in neighborhoods. How are we going to solve it? Well, I tell you, the police cannot solve it. God will solve it. How? Through you. You access heaven, bring it down in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to say this to you, my friends, before I end. You are a people of great influence. You are children of Abraham. You are blessed that you might bless. God bless you.
Wasn't that absolutely outstanding, hearing God's word this morning? I'm going to ask Ranjit to just pray for us this morning, yeah? Let's stand together, come.
Thank you. How many would like to be channels of blessing in a dark and wicked world? How many would like to be that? Would you like to be a channel of blessing? Would you? And if you would, I want you just by faith to reach up to heaven. Just reach up. Remember what I said, you are touching heaven, changing earth. Earth has no access to the riches of heaven, but you do. That's why you are blessed. But you're not just blessed to be blessed, you are blessed that you might bless a hungry world. Father, I so want to thank you for my dear brothers and sisters here. Lord, when you look on this great city, on this Sunday morning, you are not impressed by the big empires of business. You're not impressed by technology. You are impressed by the faith of your people. You are looking at these dear ones. And even this morning, as faith rises in their heart to be servants of God, children of Abraham, accessing heaven and bringing blessing on earth. I do want to pray each one, whichever stage and sphere of life they are in, they will be children of Abraham, blessed to bless. I want to pray for those who are working in offices, that they will be channels of blessing to their bosses and their colleagues and those who work under them. I want to pray, God, for that. I want to pray, God, that many bosses will be prospered because of people who are in this church. Many will minister to their superiors, Lord God. Rich men, powerful men, but terribly depressed often and living in anxiety. Who will minister to them? Your people. I want to pray, God, that you will use many here to minister to their neighbors, Lord God. Reach out. Where there is strife in homes, bring in the peace of Jesus in that place. And I want to pray, God, even in this city, Lord God, as these people pray for their city, this city will change in Jesus' name. As they pray blessing on the government of the city, they bless the police force, Lord God. They bless the local authorities. I do ask you, Almighty God, this city will change for the glory of God. And so I pray, continue giving your sons and daughters great revelation of the influence they have in heaven, the authority they have by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the opportunity that you are giving them to be children of Abraham. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ranjit. Amen. Let's fellowship with one another. Enjoy a cold drink. God bless you. See you next week. Those who are going for IDT, we can be there by 1:30. You have an hour and a half.